Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word heard around the world. Your word heard here today. And we pray that we might not just have minds that understand it, but we pray that we also might hear it and know that it is the truth, your truth, for us, your disciples. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Cheryl Reimold is an authority about body language. And she once said, if you stand up to address a seated person, you gain height and a certain amount of temporary power. But if you face a person directly at his or her level, whether sitting or standing, you are more likely to establish communication. Queen Victoria knew that. The Queen and her husband, Prince Albert, quarreled about something early on in their marriage. Albert walked out of the room and went to his private quarters. Victoria followed and found the door locked and began pounding on it. "Who's there?" Prince Albert asked. "The Queen of England," was the reply. But the door remained locked. More pounding. And then there was a pause, and there was a little light tapping. "Who's there?" Albert inquired. And the Queen's reply, "Your wife, Albert." And he opened the door immediately. Authority is a tricky thing. And if we're not careful, it can trip us up. We're told that Jesus seemed to have a lot of it. Because when he spoke, people often said that they were amazed that he spoke with such authority. It's given to those who are above us, say, in the company or whatever hierarchy we may be a part of. But the truth is, we often give authority to those who really have no authority over us. David Loos, in his blog, In the Meantime, talks about this, an instance of this in a blog that he wrote on this passage. He said, "When I was a child, for instance, I remember a conversation with my dad where I told him that he was making me feel bad for not following through on something that I said I'd do." Does that sound familiar? Matthew 26. And he responded by saying something that absolutely infuriated me in the moment. "I don't have the power to make you feel anything. You're in charge of your own feelings." Now, truth be told, we try to make people feel things all the time. And maybe my dad was trying to make me feel bad. But even granting that possibility, he was still absolutely right. He may have had the authority to dish out the consequences for my behavior, but he had no authority, unless I gave it to him, to make me feel bad. And I think this begins to kind of help us to understand this parable that Jesus tells in our Matthew passage. I think we give a lot of authority to people in our lives who really don't have authority over us. The son who said no at first, for whatever reason, we don't know what it was, decides then to do what his father asked. Maybe he felt bad for saying no to dad. Or maybe he had something that he had to do or wanted to do that didn't take him as long as he thought it was going to. Whatever reason. But he ended up doing what his dad asked him. And he was not willing to let his no to his dad be the last word. He was going to be in charge of himself, of his own feelings, his own actions. And it's a way of saying that, you know, the future is always open to us. We can change how we react to things. How we will let things affect us. And this is important for how we look at the world today on this World Communion Sunday. If I say Somalia, Iran, Pakistan, certain images come to your mind. Images perhaps of fear, or that cause fear. Bad images. Because we've been told that we must fear people from these nations and others. However, if I say England, Canada, Germany, the Netherlands, we smile and we think, I don't have anything to fear from those people. These countries, or people in these countries, when we fear people from certain countries in the world, it's because we are told that those people are bad. It's drummed into us. And we give authority to those voices and say, yeah, they're right. I got to follow that. I got to be afraid. And then, when that happens, all the people in that country become bad. When a terrorist event happens, the terrorists hope that we will give them the authority to make us fear. That's why they do it. I'll be honest with you. When my son and daughter-in-law were flying over to Paris 2 weeks ago, and then when they were flying back yesterday, I kept saying, I hope they're safe. Hope nothing happens. I was buying into those voices of fear. I was giving them more authority than they had in my life. The future is open to us. We don't have to fear them. We can live our lives without fear because we know our future is in God's hands. We can love all people, even those in countries according to certain voices, everyone is bad. And likewise, it kind of goes with this, the idea that no one is bigger than us or better than us. And that's what we get from this passage of Paul to the Philippians. Even Jesus Christ humbled himself and became one of us. Christ becomes one of us. We are all the same. Christ didn't become like one person or two people. Christ became like all people. There was a commonality in that. That's the point of Paul's wonderful hymn. He did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. He became one of us. One of all of us. Elise McKenzie writes, that was apparently a problem at Philippi. Some people feeling that they were better than others. Some people today think they are better than others. They have all kinds of reasons. They're good looking. They have money, educational credentials, possessions, power to influence others. Those things aren't necessarily bad. But they don't make anyone better than anybody else. In the eyes of God and in the mind of Christ, they're level with you. They're the same as you. They're no better, they're no worse than you. Some people think they're not as good as others for all kinds of reasons. They're not good looking. They don't have money. They don't have educational credential. They don't have possessions. They don't have power to influence others. Not having those things doesn't make them lower than anyone else. They are the same. And so we don't need to give people more authority than they have or more position than they have. We need to let all that go and just live into a future that God plans and we have the power to imagine. A future where all people are equal and we can love with all without fear. And that's the message I want us to hear on this World Communion Sunday. When we sit down at a world table, We don't have to fear. Most people are good and want the same thing as us. Yes, there are bad apples in the barrel, but we don't need to let them spoil it for the rest of us. So yes, when I sit down to this table today, I will be sitting with people from North Korea. I will be sitting with people from Iran. I will be sitting with people from Somalia and all of those other places in the world where we hear such bad things are happening. The future is open to me, and I will not give authority to those voices that tell me to fear those people. I give authority to Jesus, who tells me to love those I fear, those who persecute me. Not just in those countries, but also people who are different in our own country. We're experiencing this in our own country. We're being told, you got to fear these people, you got to fear these people. They're out to get you. No, I don't have to give those voices that authority. We need to let go of that. Because it only makes us afraid. And it keeps us from being about the business of loving all of God's people. So let us get ready to take our place at the Lord's table with people from every nation in the world. And as we sit down, let us speak with the soft voice of equality and love with all of those at the table. Amen.